With Montana News, I'm Peyton Butler. A debate between Montana's Republican gubernatorial contenders is moving forward in Helena, despite the absence of one of the candidates. MTPR's Corin Cates-Carney reports.
Carroll College announced Thursday will hold the first GOP primary debate in the governor's race later this month. Two of the three Republican candidates are expected to attend, Attorney General Tim Fox and State Senator Albert Olszewski. The Lewis and Clark County Republican Central Committee backed out of sponsoring the debate after U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte said he couldn't make it during Thanksgiving week. The Carroll College debate, scheduled for November 26th, is expected to focus on themes related to jobs and the economy. Three Republicans and four Democrats are campaigning to win their respective party's primary race to fill the job currently held by Governor Steve Bullock. Bullock is in his final term in office and can't seek re-election. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Governor Steve Bullock will again miss the debate stage in his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination. The Democratic National Committee today announced the invite list to the party's fifth debate. The 10-candidate debate, scheduled for broadcast on MSNBC on November 20th, will take place in Atlanta, Georgia. Bullock met the DNC's required polling and fundraising thresholds to appear in the second debate in July. It's been his only showing in the nationally televised debates. Bullock continues to focus on campaign efforts in Iowa. A moose has tested positive for chronic wasting disease for the first time in Montana. MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports the finding expands the area wildlife managers believed the disease to exist.
The moose was killed north of Troy, just half of a mile outside of the Libby CWD management zone, which spans a 10-mile radius around Libby. 30 white-tailed deer have tested positive for CWD within the management zone since the disease was discovered this spring. CWD can infect deer, elk, and moose. Whitetails are easily impacted because they're social animals. CWD can quickly spread through herds via contact, feces, and urine, but moose are relatively solitary animals. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Park spokesperson Dylan Tabish.
It is surprising. It's unfortunate news, but the silver lining is that moose are solitary animals. They don't socialize with deer and elk. They even don't socialize amongst themselves very often.
Tabish says that means the animal was less likely to have spread the prions or misfolded proteins that cause the fatal disease directly to other servants. He says it's hard to say how this moose contracted the disease.
But it could have occurred from sticking its nose in a deer carcass that was infected. It could have stuck its nose or shared a water source where there was a dead carcass in the water source, and that was carrying the prions that have CWD.
FWP hopes to collect samples from 400 hunter-harvested and trapped white-tailed deer inside of the Libby Management Zone in order to understand prevalence. FWP expects to have the full results early next year, which will guide future management actions. The agency is also sampling mule deer, elk, and moose taken in the management zone and is encouraging hunters harvesting animals nearby to voluntarily submit samples. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Activists in Montana say satellite election offices have increased voter access on Indian reservations across the state, but should be expanded. The Billings Gazette reports the temporary offices operate during the month leading up to the primary and general elections, providing services otherwise offered at the county courthouse. Advocates say the offices serve voters living on reservations and remove lengthy drives to the county courthouse. Others say the offices operate 1 or 2 days a week, limiting availability. State Tribal Relations Interim Committee officials say that they met Monday and they plan to study voter access for reservation residents. An election administrator says that there is a staffing and cost issue preventing them from expanding office hours. Officials say the offices are the result of a voter discrimination lawsuit settled in 2014. Montana's new missing persons specialist is updating the state's missing persons clearinghouse by identifying cases where people have been located and adding older cases that weren't listed. Misty LaPlante's job was created by the legislator after criticism that the state, federal, and tribal authorities were slow to respond or coordinate efforts in cases of missing Native Americans. At the time, 56 of the 179 missing persons in the database, or 30%, were Native Americans. Native Americans make up to 7% of the state's population. With LaPlante's updates, 35 of the 148 people listed as missing are Native Americans, or 24%. LaPlante tells Lee Newspapers of Montana she was able to clear 10 cases by contacting the state Child and Family Services Division and identifying runaway juveniles who have since been found. Kalispell Regional Healthcare was fined $65,000 this summer for failing to comply with training requirements outlined in an agreement with federal authorities. The agreement followed a $24 million settlement in 2018 that ended a lawsuit claiming the hospital violated anti-kickback laws. MTPR's Aaron Bolton explains.
After KRH settled the lawsuit last year, it entered into what's known as a Corporate Integrity Agreement, or CIA, in December with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General's Office. The five-year agreement essentially outlines how KRH will work with the office to make sure its employees and board members are complying with federal laws. As part of the agreement, board members and select employees were required to take training on federal anti-kickback laws and other related regulations. But according to a letter sent by the Inspector General's office this August, KRH, quote, falsely certified that all of its board members had received the training within the 90-day period following the Corporate Integrity Agreement's effective date. KRH's failure to comply with the agreement was first reported by the Daily Interlake. KRH spokesperson Melody Sharpton.
KRH contacted the OIG in mid-July to self-report that we had discovered a particular educational session had not been conducted within their required 90-day time frame.
Six board members didn't complete the training until July 2nd. KRH has paid the $65,000 fine for failing to comply with its CIA. The hospital says it's continuing to work through the compliance steps outlined in the agreement, which includes an independent review of those activities. The organization conducting the review made its first on-site visit in September. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.